Welcome to JK Not Really.
Season 3, episode 4.
Can you believe that it's been 3 years of us recording JK Not Really, like to this like exact date?
Yeah, it was. We literally got the memory notification like this week, 3 years ago, using like those $20 clip-on mini mics. And I think we like had to plug something into the bottom of my phone to even record.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about those. And it came out like all like muffled, and we were like, we don't care, we're just gonna post it.
Oh yeah, we were like, it's okay if it's grainy. We're still doing it. Like, we're not caring. And needless to say, if nothing else, shout out to Steven, our audio has come a long way.
Yeah. So shout out to Steven. He really helped us. You know what? Maybe he just didn't want to hear like the muffled sound of it all.
I'm sure it was pretty painful.
Probably. But you know, regardless, we came a long way.
Oh, there was nothing that was going to stop us at that point in time.
No, we were fully committed to
Yeah.
doing this. I'm so happy that we stuck to it
I
as
know.
well.
And I think just like it's so crazy when I think about just the last 3 years for both of us. Just the vast changes that we've both been through.
I know, from you living in Colorado to me having my own apartment and just where we are now, like states apart, married,
Yeah.
expecting a child. Like it's wild.
I know. And each year I feel like if you look at season one, season two, and then this season, it's almost like I feel like you kind of, in a weird way, it felt like kind of growing up a little bit.
No, it really did. I think we like each had our own seasons. And I think we really talked about the seasons in every single like episode, and we were just trying to be like raw and real about what we're going through in our daily life because we can't be the only ones. I mean, that would be a little odd.
And that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
So, do you want to give a pregnancy update? You're how many months now?
I am in the midst of 7 months, about to be 31 weeks pregnant. And the third trimester is not a joke. It is hard. I mean, overall, like pregnancy is just so difficult. This has been one of the most, like, I mean, again, like difficult. I can't even explain it. Like, I'm losing words now. I have like mom brain, I feel like, but it's been one of the most, like, difficult but beautiful like changes I've ever experienced in my life. And I thought it was going to be like beautiful and easy, and I feel like that's what people post online. But just like all the different changes and the side effects is like really what's like getting to me that's not talked about.
Yeah, I think whenever you catch me up, obviously, like you're my best friend, so I just like feel for you. But it's gotta be difficult to feel all that you're feeling. And in some ways, struggle. But then on the flip side of that, you're so grateful at the same time.
It is such a balance, yeah, because I'm lucky if I get a consistent 2.5 hours of sleep now. And just like my hormone fluctuations, and even like walking to the mailbox, I'm like out of breath, even sometimes like talking. But then again, it's just like, you know what, this is like all worth it for this life I'm about to bring into this world.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost your first, like those motherly feelings.
Yeah, they're really like coming in strong like the third trimester too, and I think it's my body just like prepping for it as well.
Well,
And it's,
go ahead.
and I was just about to say, it's just like so hard too because I have like really great talks with like Steven, but there's still that like disconnect because he will never know on my level what I'm going through. And it's like those tiny conversations. Like, I love him. It's him asking, like, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I'm like, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And that's got to be, it's just so out of your control.
Yeah, and it has to be hard for him to see me like suffering in so much pain, knowing that he can't do anything.
And I do feel like, I feel like typically with like a lot of men, like they are so solution driven and like logical and problem solvers and primal and protective and all of that. I feel like that really comes into play in moments like that. But it's also to what you just said, realistically, there's nothing you can do for me.
Absolutely. So it's kind of like this balance of like both of us just sitting in like discomfort. And so it's been a learning curve for us as well on how to like navigate the unknown. We're trying to prep for the unknown too, which is so anxiety inducing.
I was going to say, what, and obviously this isn't going to be like a one-word answer. What has surprised you most about pregnancy?
That's a great question. I think what surprised me most is just how my body just like took over and like natural instincts like kicked in. Because like I didn't know how to prep for a baby. Like I don't know what to do, but like automatically my body like just started to grow like a placenta to like carry a life. And just all these like distinct changes that like I wasn't like telling my body to do, it just automatically did it itself. I think that was like one of the most surprising things.
The female body is wild.
Oh, I am so internally grateful to be like a female. I mean, like the male species is just not in par with us whatsoever.
No. That's funny. I know. I feel like, but so that's been the most surprising. What's been the most difficult?
I think the most difficult is, and I think it's our society too, is continuing my day to day, like who I am as a professional, who I am as a wife, who I am as a friend, a daughter, and also prepping for motherhood as well. It's like embodying like another like personality that I don't know yet. And I'm still like trying to identify how I'm going to like mix all of these characteristics together. Or even so, just like grocery shopping and knowing that like he's starting to kick like really hard and like nobody else like knows how much pain I'm in. And
Yeah.
it's kind of just like, okay, like suck it up, like nothing's new. I'm still like Casey, if that makes sense.
That does. Like, I feel like in some ways, and again, like, I feel like just listening to what you've gone through and knowing who you are, I feel like even though you have an incredible husband, you're obviously not a single mom, but I feel like pregnancy can maybe be isolating.
Yeah, it is in a way. And I think I talked about this too. It's just like it's not branded to be pregnant. As in it's branded to be successful. It's branded to be outgoing and adventurous. Even like it's just me needing to do my own research to go like maternity shopping, or like I need to talk to like other moms to like understand different concepts, or it's even reading books and it's like every pregnancy is different, so I can't even compare it to other pregnancies. So in a way, it is very like isolating too.
Yeah, and I think I'm experiencing that in like the opposite way.
Yeah, so I need updates from you because you were going through like your own medical journey.
Yeah, so the last time we recorded, I had just finally, after like months of advocating for myself and being shut down, and to be completely honest, gaslit by my PCP. For literally over the course of months, I just gotten seen by my OBGYN, and I was waiting the last time we recorded for my blood work panel to come back.
So let me just like emphasize that was basically the whole summer of yours
Yeah,
trying
it,
to get like a diagnosis.
yes, because I started the process in early May, and I didn't get a referral until, or no, last time we recorded, yeah, I had started the process in early May, and then it wasn't until late August or September that I actually was able to get the referral and get seen.
That's like 5 months.
Because then you have to include the wait time for me to get that first appointment in May.
So are we upping it like 5.5 to
Yeah,
like 6 months?
probably
Yeah.
closer to at least 4 or 5 months.
That's just like still bonkers to me that took you that long just to get a referral and just to like be heard.
It was probably the most, one of the most challenging things I've ever been through with my health. Like, and it was just not even having a diagnosis yet. It was just fighting this feeling of, am I crazy? Is this normal? Am I just being a baby about it? Maybe this is all in my head. Like, that's the way that I was being made to feel.
Well, that's the definition of gaslighting. It's distorting your reality. So 100% you were gaslit. Because I
Yeah.
remember you like telling them your symptoms and they're just like dismissing you, saying, oh, that's normal. I'm like, you going for a run and then having like pain in
Where I'm
what isn't
literally
normal?
lying on the bathroom floor, like after a run, and like having irregular bleeding after exercising. Like, and that's probably what, once that really started to happen, I was like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way. So my diagnosis came back and I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS. So shout out to my PCOS girlies. And you know, that obviously no one wants to receive, you know, a syndrome, disorder, abnormality that's chronic. But at the
Yeah.
same time, it was the most validating feeling.
To like get those results and to acknowledge, like, you knew deep down that something was off.
Yes. And to have my doctor, you know, look at me and say, this is beyond clear that you have this. Like, this, it's not in your head. Look at this. Like, these are the results. Look at all of your levels. Like, I showed you my levels. It was
Yeah.
unreal how abnormal my levels and hormones were and are.
So to add some humor, because we love doing this, like I wish they could like keep your like level so they can teach like other students on what is
Oh, that my
extremely
levels lit up
abnormal.
like the Rockefeller Christmas tree. It was insane.
Yeah, it was like off the charts.
Yeah, like, and so with PCOS, there are five different like elements, or I guess five
Oh.
different items in a list of criteria. You only have to have three out of the five to get diagnosed. And it really is different for every woman. In my case, I didn't have two of the lists that are the most like outward physically presenting.
Of course you did.
So because of that, and with my PCP, because people only think of those, you know, stereotypical like ones that are visible,
Yeah.
women often get written off and get misdiagnosed, or they go through what I went through. And I mean, I shared something with you that I found online from Natural Cycles, where it will take women 2 to 3 years to get a diagnosis of PCOS because it requires like a vast level of like knowledge and specialty and blood work panels, and to some extent, listening to your patient.
Which is so sad. That should be like the first to listen to your patient and then go through all the testing and just rule it out from there.
Right. Because the two that I don't have is significant over being significantly overweight and having a lot of like body hair. So it's like pretty much because I wasn't visibly falling into a category, I was pretty much written off by
Yeah.
that PCP until I got the right care from my doctor.
With you like advocating and standing up for yourself and like pushing forward instead of just giving up.
Right. And I wanted to. There were definitely moments where I was like, I'm over this. Like I'll continue. I've dealt with it for as long as I could. I've dealt with this pain for as long as I could. I'll just suck it up because this is just exhausting. And honestly, thank God for Andrew because that was not going to be an option. I mean, he saw like the lack of care that I was getting and really came to my side and really championed for me at when I could no longer do that because I definitely hit a wall.
And I'm so happy that he was able to do that for you. So now you have like a diagnosis. Do you feel like more comfortable and like having a game plan like moving forward and like more sense of like control?
Yeah, so with the diagnosis, my doctor also had me get a saline sonogram done and then something called an HSG, which is to check if my fallopian tubes are open or closed. And luckily, my fallopian tubes are open. So that was a major win.
Yes.
And when they did the saline sonogram, they were able to also find a uterine fibroid that was so not only was I experiencing all these irregularities and awful symptoms due to PCOS, that diagnosis led to them discovering I also had a fibroid that was contributing to and like pretty much enhancing all those irregularities and not helping with my fertility. So if I have never have gotten diagnosed with PCOS, it would have never then led to them finding that fibroid, which would have put me at more risk for miscarriage, for infertility, for all of these things.
Yeah, especially the placement of it because it's yeah, not posterior like mine, so I'm kind of in the clear, but yeah, yours that just raises more of a risk for everything then.
Exactly. So it was just this like crazy light bulb moment of if I'd never have gotten the PCOS diagnosis, who knows what would have happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So thank God. So I had a surgery to get the fibroid removed,
Good.
which went well. It was benign, all good. So I have my post-op appointment in a little under 2 weeks. And that's where my doctor is going to kind of pitch what plan she has for me in regards to my trying to conceive journey and probably put me on medication to make me ovulate regularly.
Love that for you so much.
Thank you.
But again, I mean, like, you should be so proud of yourself for continuing this journey because it's been such a long stretch for you.
Thank you. It's been hard. Like it's I think what I've struggled the most with, two things. And one isn't a shocker to you, having no control. Duh. But two, accepting the fact that this is something that I've probably had always, but it was managed with birth control because I was on birth control for so many years at such a young age. But it's also something that I will have forever. Like there's never going to be a time where I'm naturally regulated and quote unquote normal.
I love when you say quote unquote, because I really don't think anybody is normal. And what is the definition of normal too? It all depends. But then again, like, how beautiful is it that you do have a provider that you trust? You do have medication, you do have effective communication skills to continue a healthy lifestyle and for you to plan for our family then.
That's true. That's true. And there's a lot of the flip side of this, there's if you go out and want to access it. So similar to you, it is kind of on you to go out and research. Like the knowledge isn't, in my opinion, overwhelmingly readily available. Especially because like I would have never thought that I had PCOS because again, I didn't have those stereotypical symptoms. There is a massive community out there, like, and so much research that is now being done to manage and treat PCOS. So, a positive out of this is reorganizing my algorithm on social media to follow and subscribe to very knowledgeable doctors. And there are podcasts that provide a lot of support for women with PCOS. There are cookbooks, there are supplements. Like shout out to the PCOS Nutrition Center. like I'm on supplements from them that although my levels aren't regulated, they're a little less high than they were before. So there are options out there.
So in a way, like you also felt like isolated too, needing to do the research, and then once you find like your group, you finally feel like connected.
Yeah, because it with many things with women's health, it's not talked about often or enough, and it's not fun to talk about. But I think it's really necessary because if I went through that with my PCP, with PCOS, I know there's other women that are going through the same thing. So like
Absolutely.
do your research, like in you know what's right and normal for your body. And if you in your heart and soul feel like something isn't right, don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Yeah, completely agree with that. You just need to like advocate for yourself and continue to look at different communities, like I said, that can like support you because like you can't be the only one.
Right. And I think that goes for your journey with pregnancy as well. You have not had an easy pregnancy at all.
No. So to be real with everyone, my fibroid is posterior, so it doesn't interfere with the baby right now. But because of it, I do need a C-section with my hormone fluctuation and has been growing, such as it's kind of like the same size as my baby. So technically I'm carrying twins.
Like with what the stress that your body is going through.
Yeah, like they are measuring the same size.
That is insane.
So it's now my biggest fear is after I do give delivery, what happens to my fibroid? Is it going to shrink? Does it stay the same? Am I going to look like I'm pregnant for another year?
And
And can
that's, I
something.
think, what, as your best friend, that's the hardest part for me to like witness with you is because it's almost impossible sometimes for you to remain just present in your pregnancy because you already know postpartum, that journey for you is not going to be, it's never easy for any woman, but you know
No.
for a fact you might have like another like surgery in your future, possibly.
Potentially, yeah. It's just odd because, like, there are statistics saying that there's a 70 to 80% chance it will shrink back to its normal size and I'll be okay. There's others that state that I might need medication to decrease it. There's others that says surgery, but that's a risk of a hysterectomy then, and that would be one and done with kids.
And
So
it's
again,
so hard not to spiral with that.
exactly, because you and I are such, I don't want to say like control freaks, but it's just nice to know like what's going to happen next.
We're very particular when it comes to planning.
Yeah, and I think also just with our body too, because that's where we get like a sense of control. And oh my gosh, this is the year that we had to give up control.
Yes. And I was going to bring that up when I was in your hometown for your baby shower, and then we hung out, like we had like a sleepover afterward. Like some of the comments you were making about your body, I remember like I looked at you and I was like, sounds familiar. I was like, the body dysmorphia is real. Like I felt like in a weird way, I almost grew closer to you because I felt like you had a little bit of an idea of the mind fuckery that happens with body dysmorphia.
So to add on that, there has been multiple moments throughout my pregnancy that I'm thinking of you, and I'm just like, I cannot wait to be there for Jack to help her because I'm like going through the dialogue that you used to tell yourself. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I finally understand where she's coming from, and I cannot wait to like help her when she is pregnant then because I know it's going to like,
Yeah, you're gonna
I
be
mean,
the
this in the
best.
best way. I know it's going to increase for
Yeah, you're gonna
you.
be yeah. You're gonna be the best because I'm just gonna be able to be like so real with you. I mean, I said this in the last episode. I felt so bad saying this out loud, but like when I was being gaslit by my PCP, I was
Oh,
like, wow, I feel so much closer to Casey right now. Like, yay, trauma bonding.
truly understand the pain. Wow, look at us. We're trauma bonding through being gaslit and through body dysmorphia. We're just getting so close,
I
Jack.
just really love this journey for us.
Twins.
Always. I know. And we both had, well, you still have, but fibroid girlies too.
And that's something else that's not talked about. And also, it's wild too. It's something that you don't know until like you need a medical procedure. You have like an MRI or like a CAT scan or something, because it can't really be known from just a yearly exam from your OB.
That's what I think I was like alluding to earlier. If you don't have another reason to get those exams done, you're not going to know. And you're just going to think like, oh, okay, well, I guess this is normal. And it's not. Like, there's just so many, and not just for women, like health in general. Like, I remember Andrew was telling me a story about a coworker he had that I think he maybe, oh, he got injured like in the field. So he had to go to the doctor. And just upon his doctor running some tests, found out that he had cancer, but
Like
like
what?
caught it crazy early. But it's like if you would have never have had that injury that led to that scan, who knows what would have happened? Like there's just so many instances with our health that you could try to be as on top of it as you can, but there are just certain things that you're not going to know until maybe other things happen.
No, it exactly. I mean, that's the story of you and I with your PCOS and like my pelvic floor concerns, because that's when we found the fibroid and everything else.
Right.
Yeah. Again, it is just like making sure that you are checking in with yourself, talking to friends and family, advocating constantly to your providers, and also acknowledging too that you can jump from provider to provider until you find the best one for you.
Yes. And again, like it might be tedious. It might be, a process. It's not something anyone wants to do,
Yeah.
but it's necessary because you deserve and anyone deserves quality health care.
Wow, I can really get into a rabbit hole with that statement, but I won't.
I think that goes back to for you and I mean, there's a reason why it's taken us so long to record another episode. While we're both going through what we're going through.
Yeah, and I absolutely love recording with you. I am so damn proud of us for doing this. But given what life is about to throw at us, unfortunately, we're gonna have to take a pause with JK, not really.
And it's not a goodbye, like it's not an ending. I just think we are practicing what we preach in a lot of ways, where you and I just had a very real conversation of this is not a priority for us right now, and that's okay.
Is this the first time we're like making ourselves a priority?
I think yes. I think
Oh,
yes.
okay. So let me just get this straight. It took us 31 years to put ourselves first.
31 years and going through the journey of trying to conceive. That's what finally took it.
You know what? I'll take it. I'll take it. But there's like a lot of like empowerment too, because like we're such people pleasers. And I don't feel guilty for doing a pause.
No.
Because oh, go ahead.
I think you texted me the other day and you said something along the lines of, I want to record when we feel like called or we feel like we need it, not because we want to like drive content.
Exactly. Like, I want this to be like a fulfilling moment for us. And if we're not ready, could you imagine getting on and giving 50% to this? That's not fair for
No.
us, for the podcast, for our listeners. Like, I want to make sure that we're 100% present. And I know we cannot do that for the next couple of months or years, or we'll
However
see.
long, like that's it. I think like it's very realistic of us to not put a time frame on it. I think you before me are about to go through one of the most beautiful but life-changing events of your life, and you deserve all the time and space in the world in that season. And I'm just hopefully like entering that phrase where I'm phased and I'm gonna be in the same boat.
You will be. You will be. Yeah. And that's where our priorities like change and we have to adapt to that. And that's okay. And I would absolutely love for season four to be about motherhood for both of us and the nitty gritty because I found a couple of podcasts that are raw and real, but not a lot. And I really think we could give back to the community in that way.
Absolutely. I think, we've talked about some really tough topics on JK, Not Really. We talked about domestic violence. We talked about abusive relationships. We talked about eating disorders, divorce. Like, we've covered so many topics that are taboo to openly talk about. And I think the realities of motherhood is probably what's next for us.
And I love that we started off with the difficulties of trying to conceive and start this journey of motherhood.
Yeah, I think we're continuing to keep it real, and we owe it to our listeners to give quality episodes to. And we just don't want to accept anything less than that. So it's kind of like a see you later, not a goodbye. And who knows what the future will hold.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. So until then, I just want to state my gratitude. And then again, just emphasize how proud I am of you and I for doing this in the first place.
Yeah, I think we set out and accomplished a lot of what we wanted to. And it's been like really like beautiful and nostalgic. I also think it was probably a bit of a crutch for us when I was moving.
Yes, a 100%.
I think that, we definitely leaned heavily on it after that. And I think this, with this pause, it'll hold us more accountable in that way with a long distance friendship, which I think is good too.
Completely agree. I know that we catch up on here, but also to acknowledge we can catch up other ways. And you know what? Tis the holiday season, so maybe we have to get JK, not really apparel for our husbands,
I
and
think
we'll
it's
end the year
finally.
like
I
that.
think it's finally time. They deserve it. They've been the equivalent of whatever dad talk is there for us.
Right.
But yeah, I'm just feeling super grateful. I'm super excited for this next chapter in our lives. And thank you to everyone that has ever listened, whether it was once, 10 times, 50 times, whatever. We just feel so loved and appreciated.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to know actually people listen to this. So
And hopefully we'll
appreciate.
again someday soon, someday.
We'll see. If not, we'll force our future children to.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, well, I guess with that, we'll see you when we see you.
Yep, this is JK Not Really signing off.
Bye.